Hi everyone, welcome to the Cover Mindset Podcast with McGinley Coaching. I'm your host and founder, Lorna McGinley. Today we are joined by my friend, Thorin Einar, or Toki. How are you?
I'm quite good, thank you, and you?
Oh, I'm good, thanks. Can you just tell the listeners about a background of yourself and the kind of coaching journey you've been on?
My career, or...?
Yep, so in the last 20 years.
Yeah, for 24 years. I started 2000 and I have been football coach from 2000 to 2024.
Yep.
I'm working now with one of the biggest club now in Iceland called Víkingur, and they have been for the last 2 years the cup finals and also winning the league. I've been traveling constantly since 2015. Visiting about 30 clubs everywhere in Europe. Have the UEFA A license, B license, UEFA A elite license also. And now in October, starting with the University of Madrid to take the course master in coaching. It will be taking 9 months and the final 2 weeks in Madrid.
Okay. And you obviously, we've obviously known each other for a long time, but you specialise working in the kind of foundation, working with the younger ones. What's the kind of skill set is needed to work with the under sixes, sevens, eights, nines, tens? Is it a coaching, or is it a personality, or is it really a bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of both. It's because we have so many individuals. And you have to be creative. Most of these things, because the most problems in all of these are the parents. It's not the kids. But I think from the youngest, we start here about 4 years old here in Iceland, and with loads of games with the ball and all of that stuff. But on that age, they take everything in. Just the learning progress is huge on that age. I've been with 4, 5, 6, and as you. We're talking about up to 9 years old.
And see, like a coaching session, because the biggest thing I'm learning, and you know, so you taught me these things, but see, when you're working with the younger ones, the 4, 5, and 6 year olds, all they want is fun themes, but it's like hidden football in a way. Like if you say, for example, toe taps, you could do like Hulk smashes, but is it good to have that kind of fun, but also the learning through like ball mastery, 1v1s, 2v2s, so they're used to the kind of game related stuff, but also their skill levels improve.
My philosophy of these ages is, it's the same thing with when you're teaching in sports. We're just teachers, and you have to have a good teacher to teach these things, as same as you are doing now on Saturdays with these young kids. Just introduce the ball, fun games, and let them enjoy what they're doing.
And see the philosophy, because a lot of the coaches, you know, expect the 5, 6, and 7 year olds, you know, to master things quite quickly, when they might not master the ball until they're 10, 12, 14. But is it always good to have using the football as the tool, you know, having that idea of using, you know, like I say, like skills, but also learning that sometimes they might fail at a certain age, but there's certain kids that are developing faster than others, but there's still, it should be like maybe working up to maybe 12 to 14 and then trying to work out what's the kind of best kind of position is, or is it good to have an individual and then just working on them, so therefore they might not be a professional footballer, but they might use like different life skills, you know, from a young age to develop themselves.
I think the main thing is we're forgetting loads of things in all of these sports and everything what we are doing. It's to making up good self-esteem from the kids.
Yeah.
Let them feeling very well. It's the same as we are with jobs, and you get into a new job and you don't know how to do it. Then you have to, you know, your self-esteem is not good. This is just the same thing. But the thing is with, as I do, is we do it on the training pits with the ball, loads of these things. And also, you can show them a little bit of some, because some people are good on the on the field. The other ones are when they see some videos or something like that, then they get it in. This is two kinds of things. That's what I'm doing with these kids.
And because obviously technology is the big thing, you know, like when I played, technology was kind of just coming up, you know, alive. But I loved the demonstrations, but also watching you know, games and training and all that. Obviously, you said you travel. Do you try and use some of the things you've seen from different clubs and try and implement it in your style? You know, with working with the younger ones, but also if you get asked to work with the older ones, then you have that kind of idea of like, this is like the session, there's this intensity. Or for example, let's say you went to like Germany, you know, by a Leverkusen, or so it's like, do you try and use different ideas but always try and make it your own, so therefore the kids can still relate to what you're doing, but there may be a tweak to it to make it more fun or a bit more education?
I have my own philosophy,
yeah.
And when I go to these clubs, is maybe I take something of it, sometimes nothing. That's the thing. The thing is, like, that my last trip was where I went to Real Madrid for a week, and the main thing was to if I got the opportunity to talk with the psychologist.
Yeah.
And I got that, and that's the thing. You know, because like I was telling you about these individuals, we have so many individuals. And I think it's the biggest things of all, it's to build up the player, yeah, and the individual.
So individual, okay, so let's look at a training session, you know, because I know that sometimes you have to, in Iceland it's -6 or -10, and you've got kids that are, you know, cold, and a lot of the, we like to try and keep them, you know, warm by, you know, doing individual stuff and group games. What would a session like look like? You know, about an hour and a half, and how would you break the session down from a warm up and then throughout the session? Because I think people are interested how the kind of, because a lot of clubs are very similar, but you said you go on your own philosophy. Do you use your philosophy and the clubs interlinked, and therefore it's kind of the same kind of way, or do you try and use your philosophy to implement more with the kids?
When it's very cold, we don't have indoor halls in at my club, but we work outside, and we have when the weather is really bad, I have some schedule for them inside, and then I make some groups for them and ask them questions about the game. I put that into my computer, just small things, and like 5 or 10 girls or boys together, and then I ask questions, and then we have to work together. And I'm trying to twist that into the game outside, to let them learn how to work together.
Okay.
And this is when the winter is really, really hard on. Like, it has been now about sometimes 11, 12 minus.
And
that's the thing.
And a training session, what would it look like? How would you design your session?
We're starting with just warming up a little bit. You can't, because we have so many kids. It's sometimes on that age group's about under 8. It's about 50 girls on the practice, and then you have to, we have to be well organized. You can't have any lines. Everybody has to be full on. And then you have been warming up, and then you take the ball with some drills with the ball, technical things, and then you go into the game. And the thing is, we try to, from the technical, we are trying to use that into the game, and they get some points for using that.
Yeah.
It's like if you pass the ball with your inside foot, you control the ball very well, and you pass it on to another one, and it's loads of these. Then you have to use it. It's just, if you make some triangle and you score a goal, then you get 2 goals, and always, you know, it's always like that.
Yeah. So I've seen a lot of I know some kind of teams abroad are do a lot of tactical work from a young age. Is that something that you try and implement, or is it very much using the technical aspect first and then showing, like, for example, let's say 7-a-side, 2-3-1, but you try and implement like different formations or styles? Or do you believe in just improving the technical first and then introducing different tactical principles throughout, you know, like 1v1s, 2v2s?
When they are on that young age, I think the most important things in these is the technical things.
Yeah.
And then you can put them up in some position when they start, but just let them be free. Just free play, technical. Just let them enjoy these things when on that age. Don't put them into and knock them down a little bit on the pitches. I think that's a little bit crazy, but we use a lot 1v1, 2v1, 2v2, and 3v3 on that age, and lots of small sided games into that with technical aspects as we have been putting on.
And through the, obviously, I seen something in the guys in Belgium discussed this, Chris van der Hagen, and he discussed it when he was when I had an event in Scotland, and he talked about, he did this like a 7-a-side or 11-a-side pitch, split it like into different parts. So sometimes it's 1v1s, then it's 2v2s, then 3v3s, and they just let the players basically play, and the coaches were very minimal, you know what I mean, very coaching. Is that some, do you think it's good to coach and then sometimes have a night where it's less coaching and more let them just play, or is it good to have a balance of kind of both, of trying to, let's say the kid, one of the children, it does the same thing, for example, takes the ball, receives the ball on their left foot when they should really take it on their right foot, you know, and then they've done it 3-4 times, but it's in the kind of game session. Is it good, is it sometimes just have a very quick word with them and show them, like, during a break, because therefore they're not, like, feel they've done a mistake, but they've kind of had that kind of, the coach is explaining things. Is it good to have a variety of different, you know, decision-making exercises for the kids, but also for the coaches to see how the kids get on?
I think it's, with these things on the pitch, you have to have the both things. Let them play and ask them questions. If you see something, then you can ask them questions about it.
Yeah.
But not too much of questions. Don't stop too much. But it's always a question with something what we have been doing and implement into the practices and also in the game. The positive things, not the negative things. Always positive.
Okay. So let's say you're working, because this is more of a, because you see a lot of coaches, like we discussed this beforehand, but let's say you're working with the tens, the under tens, and you see that you're doing a good job. And this is just like a general question, but you see the next group of coaches that are maybe not as intense, or they're struggling to work with the players. How do you as a coach try and install that standards to the people around you, you know, like with the coaches and the players? Because you're going to get sometimes your groups that the coaching standard is dropped or it's higher, but you've done the work, the groundwork, and then you want to see that progress, but it's not really progressed. How do you try and educate the coaches around you, or do you speak to maybe like a hierarchy, or how do you try and make sure that you are keeping your standards high but also keeping the people around you accountable?
I think it's quite difficult to do that, because we have the educational things here in Iceland that are fantastic. The Federation has been putting lots of things to the coaches, but the thing is, it's the degrees in every club here in Iceland. It's the kids is getting more and more and more kids, but we are not getting the coaches are not getting higher and higher. And we need more coaches, because take one club with under 10s, 120 kids.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you have to split it in two groups, the two age groups, like under. Under 8 and under 9, and the youngest ones and the older ones, and it's not easy to get coaches, you know, really qualified coaches to do these things. But it's, but the main coach and the assistant coaches are that, and then we have to teach the younger ones to do something about it. But usually it's a young, very young kids, and when you put young kids on the line and you have a tournament, then the parents are, what did she control them or put something in? Then we go to the knowledge things, because these kids who are assistant coaches everywhere, they are trying to learn. But the problem is the parents don't have any patience for that.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I think it's just everywhere.
Yeah. Because let's look at education versus qualifications, all right? Because that's the big debate a lot of the time, because you could have a, let's say, a B license and you could be 19, or you could have a C license, you could be 40, you know, and you've done 20 years, but you just want to keep your, see, your knowledge just in increments, small pieces. Do you think it's good, this is a bit of a random one, but I know you've got your high qualifications, but is it good to specialise in one area, or is it good to have a knowledge, a broad knowledge of a lot of things, and then specialise on what you want to do? Because a lot of coaches want to work at the highest level and be the head coach of a first team when their skill set is actually working with the under 12s or the under 10s, you know, and being the best coach in that area. Is it good to have, when you're starting out as a coach, to work with a variety of different, you know, players, girls, boys, men, women, you know, and therefore different age groups, so therefore you can work out the scenarios that are happening?
I think you have to have the most qualified coaches downstairs, because there's the same if you send your kid to school and you want to have a good teacher to teach them the basics. Like me, I just specialize in the youngest ones downstairs, because I love to teach. I have been on the 11 side, but my specialty is downstairs, because the teaching thing is just me.
Yeah.
And I have been there for so many years, and I really enjoy it, to just teach the kids and see the progress in everything what they are doing.
Yeah. Because, okay, let's go back to what you said about, so going to study visits, and sometimes you don't learn anything, or you can learn a lot, but you wanted to speak to maybe a psychologist or nutrition. Is it, see, when you're being a football coach, it's not sometimes on the grass you learn things, actually off the grass, you know, like webinars, do you think it's good now that we've got such a variety of resources, you know, on... nutrition to sports science to video analysis, having that knowledge now of, do you know what, I can go and clip a game, or I can go and learn about nutrition, or I can learn about the biology, you know, working with different kind of age groups. Is it now, the football coach, are they kind of just starting to be mini kind of, in the kind of commas, in sporting directors, because they can learn how to be the, work with under 7s and 10s, but also how does a psychologist work with the 7s and 10s? Is it something that you believe in? Like, I know you're doing your Masters, but is it good having a variety of knowledge, work, children, youth and adult, so therefore you can speak to the parents about something, but you also can speak to the children about something else?
I think in our job we have to educate the parents. I think that's the issue. I think we forget, we don't really want to talk with the parents, because it's always something going on with the parents in that group, and because we have so huge groups and everybody wants to be a professional. But I think the main thing is put the education to the parents. Help them to understand what you're doing and what's your aim for what you're doing with the kids. Yeah. I think that is a big thing in all of this.
Okay, so
and be open-minded to learn.
Do you think that's the biggest thing now? Is some coaches that are working in the top game, they're always open to learn, but sometimes, as I said before, everyone wants to reach the top, but sometimes the top is actually, as I said, working with the 13s, the 14s, the 20s. But see, when you're educating yourself as a coach, you know, is it good to be out of your comfort zone sometimes, working with, if you, let's say you work with adults, but then you'd be asked to take the 14s or the 12s, you know, you've not worked with this age group before, but you, again, working with different age groups can be daunting. Is it good to work in different age groups so you could have that experience of saying, do you know what, if I don't want to work in the first team anymore, I want to maybe work like a lower age group, is it good to maybe go out of your comfort zone to have that knowledge and therefore speak to the coaches that are in the youth development and the kind of foundation?
Yeah, I have done that for all of these years to try. I start with 14, 15s, and then on some point I just dropped a little bit down. But the thing is, you always have to be open-minded when you're doing these things. It's, if you don't be open-minded to learn of everybody around you, then you should stop, because the learning progress in this is huge. It's everywhere, but you have to be open-minded. This is the thing when I'm traveling to all of these clubs and meeting people over just everywhere, and still have good friends everywhere in Europe, and they are still contacting me with loads of things. But open-minded and learn, because you always have to, okay, if you start with, like you're talking about, on the six, or you're getting a little bit tired to be on the six, and then you get a little bit higher, and then you're pushing you a little bit up, and then you, on some point, okay, is that right for me to go from under 6 to under 12, or from under 12 up to under 60? Is that correct, or is it too much for me? You have to find your own balance.
Yeah, and talk about balance, because the biggest thing is coach life balance. Sometimes we're working to 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, just doing some work, but sometimes it's good to just step away from football, you know what I mean, do other things. I like to read, but I guess usually football books or something. I know you, we talk about this obsession with football and trying to learn, but is it good to sometimes learn about other sports, you know, like basketball, like using fast break, or I know like in rugby, maybe the space in behind, you know, like a high line, you know, different ideas and leadership too. Is it good to expose yourself to new sports, so therefore you can teach across, because we're, again, you said we're teachers, but is it good to have that knowledge of going to other sports, so therefore you can maybe learn different techniques to improve, like first touch or counter attacking or, you know, fast breaks, you know, like per se from basketball?
Like I was telling you about to be open minded, the thing is, in every sport is different coaches. It doesn't matter what sport it is. You're always learning. And you have to be open-minded to learn from these things, because it's a different pronounce of every sport. And that's what I'm thinking about. It's just, you have to be open-minded to learn from every sport everywhere. It doesn't matter what it is.
Okay. So let's look at the kind of network part, you know, because we've got, both of us have got a good network of coaches, different ideas. That's how we, you know, met through LinkedIn and you know that. But is it good, see the network you have, it's a terrible thing, it's about hierarchy. There's always a lot of good coaches who'll give you your time, and some people will just not give you your time because maybe they're a wee more, they're busy or they're higher up. Is it good to, I know you've got different people you speak to, but is it good to ask questions to different people to get different points of view, but not too many people? Because if you ask 100 people, you're going to get 100 different answers, and it's going to be maybe 80% of them are going to be the same. Or is it good to maybe go to maybe 6 or 7 people who are kind of higher up, you know, and maybe the job that you want, you know, for example, a head coach's job or a technical director's job, and ask them, the specialised in these things, ask them about their job, and then maybe, I know you also network and we, you know, travel abroad, but sometimes it's good to speak to different people abroad, but also in the home country too. Is it good to have that, speaking to 6, maybe 10 people and getting 10 different answers, but always having your philosophy, you know, of that's good, or I might just tweak it because that bit of advice might be a bit better to help me?
I think, you know, you have your own philosophy.
Yeah.
You can talk with much as you can, but it's the thing is, what are you going to take off it? Are you going to take some off it when you get some results of what you have been asking about these questions? Do you think it's right or do you think it's wrong? Because it's a different, everything is different. You have to put it on your own and put it in your philosophy if you want to use it. The same as with when you go and see some practices, practice after practice after practice after practice. Sometimes you can use something of it, sometimes nothing.
Yeah. And is it, I'm just trying to think of, see the way you think, obviously, philosophy and methodology, you've got your own, and you can look at different practices, but is it, you said open-minded, see if you are a young coach, you know, first kind of time, you know, coaching, is it good to look at different practices, read about different things, learn about different ideas, and then not focus, but maybe start to look at what kind of ideas that are you're suited to, you know, because a lot of people like to play fast attacking football when they might look at a team that's not that, you know what I mean? So is it good to maybe look at different coaches, read about them, you know, but again, just start to build your philosophy, build your idea, and then therefore put it on paper, you know, put it down on paper so you start to put it together. But there's like, everything is, I know with me, I had a 60-70 page document on philosophy and now it's down to about 25 just because it's changed, but it's not changed as such, it's more specific, more what I'm thinking, instead of doing it for a bit generic, it's more specific to what I play. Is it, as I said, I'm just trying to work out from when you're, for 24 years you've been coaching, but 24 years ago you probably done the same thing, you know, looked at a lot of coaches and see what they were like. Is it good to do that? So therefore you, some coaches you like, some coaches you don't like, but it's always good to expose yourself to different ones.
I usually take, when I go somewhere, I have a book with me and pen.
Yeah.
If I get some ideas, I put it on. About young kids who want to be a coaches, they just have to be starting on the right point in the beginning, downstairs. And then they have to ask questions. And then it's up to you to teach them a little bit and give them some points. But, you know, don't do everything for them. Just let them think and get some project on the practice.
Okay. And then I know the last couple of questions on, you know, we've talked about a lot of kind of coach education and experience, but how would you describe your journey so far? How would you describe your mindset? Is it very much an open mindset of trying to develop, or is it more, I've learned this, now I want to try something new, or is it good to look back at a few things and expand on it?
My journey is really still on, because yeah. I don't stop. Even though I'm almost 50 years old now and still on. But the thing is, when I have a break, I go abroad.
Yeah.
My connection network, it's that big. And I can text or call, then I can get in if I want to get in. And if I want to see something, there's no problem at all. I haven't stopped and I'm not going to stop. My mindset is still on. And that's the thing.
Oh, perfect. That's a good way to finish. Thanks again for chatting to me.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.